Good morning. Certainly good to be here with you. This is the last Lord's Day of 2013, and I'm glad that you are able, both physically and mentally, to be able to be here with each other and to worship our God. I'd like to help us to keep focus this coming year. And to do that, I have some suggestions and some things that we want to remember this coming year. There's a song that we sing in our songbooks, Take Time to Be Holy. And the second verse of that song in part reads, "Take time to be holy, the world rushes on." And that truly is the picture of this world. Our Lord even gives that picture in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, that I really would just label as hurry and worry. That's the basic approach of this world that we live in. We see it all around us. And sometimes when we are living our lives, it's not very difficult to get caught up in that. This hurry and worry and become more focused on things that we really shouldn't be thinking about. And we ought to be focusing more on what it means to follow Christ and what we're looking forward to beyond this life. The world is not our friend. I know that is a news to some people, and it may sound bad to say that, but our Lord said that. John chapter 15, he warned his disciples. He said, the world's going to hate you. And the world hates Christians. Again, I know that sounds, when you say that, people immediately want to say, no, that's not the case. But I believe it is the case. Our Lord warned us the world is not going to be your friend. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we're going to be. Not because we're looking to be antagonistic against the world, but we need to prepare ourselves to understand we're living in this world and we're being what we ought to be. The world's not going to like that. It makes them look bad, makes them feel bad. And that's why even Peter in his letters warns us of the world trying to change us. Paul in Romans 12 warned us about the world trying to press us into its mold. We've got to be so careful about what the world is trying to do to us. The world attacks our faith, plants seeds of doubt, pressures us, persecutes us, and it's hard not to get distracted and not to get discouraged. It's easy to lose our focus. So what I want to do is share with you some things, and I'm going to be speaking in the first person this morning. I'm going to be saying, I. I'm not doing that to bring attention to me. I'm saying it in the first person because I want you to make these declarations your own. I want you to say these declarations along with me in your own mind, in your own heart. Some things that I'm convinced that we need to start each day. And if your day begins on midnight shift, say you get home and you're sleeping during the afternoon, you get up at 7 or 8 o'clock, get ready to go to work at midnight, you know, the midnight shift. If that's when your day starts, then start your day remembering these things. It's so important that we do this. I know I can't stress this enough because the devil and the world wants us to lose focus, wants to blind us, wants to divert your attention. So, the first thing that I want to remember each day of my life is that I am a slave and Jesus is my master. The idea of slavery has a strong connotation in this country, always has, always will, no doubt. But that is the very picture that Scripture paints in regard to those who belong to Jesus Christ. I am a slave and I belong to Christ. Now, this is nothing new. Everybody, not just those of us here who are Christians, but all of us are slaves of someone or something. When you say this and say, I'm a slave and Jesus is my master, people might think to themselves, well, not me. I'm not going to be a slave to anybody or to anything. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're right here. You're already shackled to yourself. You have something on you, and the other end of that is going to be something or someone. Now, you're going to decide what that is, but for me, it's Jesus. For the world, it may be material things, it may be pleasures, which really boils down to themselves. But the fact is, we all have a master. The only question that needs to be decided is, who or what is that master going to be? And the devil doesn't care how you label it. If I was to tell you every accountable person in this world today is either for Christ or for the devil, either living for Jesus or living for the devil, and you would have, I'm sure, most people saying, if they believe that there's a devil, they'd say, I'm not living for the devil. That offends me. I'm not living for the devil. If you're not living for Jesus, there's only one other choice in those two categories. Now, someone might say, I'm living for myself. The devil doesn't care how you label that. He's fine with you saying, I'm going to do what's best for me. I don't even believe in the devil. He's fine with that. He doesn't care. As long as you don't make any commitment toward or any allegiance toward Jesus, he doesn't care what else you do or how else you want to label it. He is not so prideful as to say, well, wait a minute now, you need to say my name. You need to consciously serve me. It's not how he works. That's not how it works. It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the devil. I don't know of any other choices that there are. Paul made it clear in Romans chapter 6 when he wrote, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? This is a conscious decision. We are going to make the choice of whom or what we are going to serve. Whoever you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. One way or the other, I'm going to make the conscious decision. It's either going to be Jesus or something else. That's the choice I have to make. 2 Peter 2:19, lest you come across somebody who says, hey, I'm not going to be enslaved to Christ. I'm not going to be enslaved to Christianity. Christianity is a religion that shackles people, doesn't allow them to enjoy life, doesn't allow them to be happy, doesn't allow them to find and fulfill their full potential. Okay. What are you enslaved to then? Well, I'm not enslaved to anything or anybody. Remember 2 Peter 2:19 when someone says that to you. Because Peter writes, while they promise them liberty. You hear it all the time. We want to be free. You know, this idea of libertarian. We want to be free to do whatever we want to do. We're free. Peter says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. When people, under the guise of saying, I'm free, I have liberty, I'm free to do as I please, they're slaves of sin and corruption. They're slaves of themselves. They're slaves of their own belly. Read Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, where Paul talked about some individuals in his day whose God was their belly. So what's that mean? They were serving themselves. Whatever was best for them, whatever made them feel good, whatever satisfied them, that's what they served. And that's what Peter's talking about. And Peter says, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. I'm telling you, my friend, the issue here this morning is not, are you enslaved? That's not the issue. The question is, to whom or to what are you enslaved? That is the only issue that you need to answer. We're all slaves here this morning. Question is, who or what is that slave? I belong to Jesus. Period. Not to myself. Not to my wife. Not to husband. Not to parents. Not to children. Not to the government. I belong to Jesus. That's what I want you to think about this coming year. To remember that. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, to remember that you belong to Him. He bought you. He purchased you. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, Paul reminded them, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I belong to Jesus Christ. The same letter in chapter 7 and verse 23, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." And Paul's talking about the marriage relationship there. And of course, the marriage relationship is not a relationship of slavery by any stretch. But if someone tries to enslave me and tries to hold sway over me to do something or else, then they're going to have to do the or else. Because I belong to Jesus. He bought me. You realize the master that I serve loves me? The master that I serve sustains me and strengthens me and blesses me? Show me a master anywhere that's ever done that. That's the type of master that we all need. He supplies all of our needs. Any other master you serve is going to destroy you ultimately, including yourself. I am a slave of Jesus. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, I'm putting this verse up here to show you that Peter in the first century wrote about some individuals who came to the point in their life that they denied the very Lord that bought them. Can you imagine somebody getting into that point in their life as a disciple of Jesus Christ to say, "I no longer believe in Him. I deny Him." By the way, the word "Lord" there is not the normal word that's translated in the English "kurios." This is the Greek word "despotes," like a despot, and that word means someone who has absolute control over you. This is not a question of 50-50. Jesus, I'm your slave and you're my master. Now let's sit down and discuss this on a 50-50 basis. It's not a 60-40. It's not a 70-30. It's not an 80-20. It's not a 90-10. It's not a 99 and 1. It's not a 99 and make that 9 go out to infinity if you want to. And then put the point there and go out with the 1 to wherever you want to. We have no say when Jesus speaks. Brethren, I'm telling you, that's why our families, our sons and daughters and husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and in-laws and our friends and neighbors won't come to Christ. They'll voice a belief, but they will not make a commitment to Him. Because they understand that it means that they can't do whatever they want to do. They have to do what Jesus said. This coming year, don't lose focus on the fact that you are a slave and Jesus is your master. Please remember it each day. And I want to say this while I'm thinking about it. It's my intention to put this lesson on our website and leave it there the entire year, next year. Whatever other lessons need to be taken off and put on as we do so and try to cycle things, that's one thing. But my intention is, Lord willing, to leave this there so that those who aren't here this morning can hear it, and that each one of us, including myself, when weeks come into months and I need to refocus, I click on there and be reminded, I am a slave and Jesus is my master. Also, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple. I'm a learner. I'm a follower of Jesus and His teaching. We're not simply learners of principles. We can all learn principles. We are people who say, I know what Jesus taught. I know what Jesus wants. And I'm not just a pupil of that, but I'm going to be a practicer of that. I'm going to practice what I learned as a pupil. And I am a disciple of Christ. John 8:31, Jesus said to them, to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide in it. Stick in it. Not just the study of His word, but the practice of it. Also in John 13:35, by this all will know that you're my disciples, if you love, or if you have love for one another. I hope and pray that that we will remember the obligation we have to love each other. That we will strive to increase in that love toward each other and all that that entails. Not the world's idea of love. The world's idea of love would destroy the church. But the Bible's idea of love, God's idea of love, Paul's description and definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13 will help the church to be strong and flourish. Brethren, we have to love each other. We must, if we're going to be his disciple. And then John 15, 8, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." As disciples, we have to bear fruit. We show the results of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the lives that we live. I am a disciple of Jesus. You know, if this Duck Dynasty fiasco that you've all been reading about is still in the news, and a lot of these things talk about, I stand with Phil Robertson, or I stand with... When I see that, my first thought is, I stand with Jesus. Don't find yourself standing with any man. I don't care who they are. Stand with Jesus. Now, if someone else stands with Jesus, then I guess in essence, as Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's fine. But let Jesus be the one whom we stand with. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Thirdly, this coming year, let our focus be, I am a steward. I am a steward. When it comes to my time, my talent, my treasures, I am a steward. The idea of stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted in one's care. That's what it means to be a steward. Someone has something, they're putting it in your care, and they're saying, I'm going to hold you responsible for this. Think about this for a moment. I need to remember, I'm a steward. That simply means that everything that exists in this material universe belongs to God. Everything. Everything. The clothes on your back. The car in the parking lot. The home you will go to. The home you came from. Everything belongs to God. Genesis 1:1, you know this passage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if he created it, doesn't it tell you it belongs to him? Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people, or the world and those who dwell therein. Everything belongs to God. You say, why do I need to remember that? So we don't cling too tightly to things. So those things don't control us, and we think we can't live without it. If we lose that, if we lose this, it's going to be a terrible, terrible thing to happen. Well, that's probably because we're holding too tight to things. It all belongs to God anyway. That needs to be our mentality as a steward. All that we possess is on loan to us from God. Everything. You realize everything that you own, or almost everything you own, and I use the word own in quotation marks, used to be somebody else's. Not everything, but most of the things. And you realize everything you own right now will be owned by someone else someday? The house you're living in, someday someone else will own that home. It won't be mine anymore. It won't be in my name. It won't belong to me. I won't live there. It'll be somebody else's. We need to remember that. It's on loan to us from God. It doesn't belong to me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to tell those of his day, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Contentment. Contentment. Be content. "For we brought nothing into this world." What did you bring into this world when you were born? Nothing. Paul says, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Nothing. You've heard it said before, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses, and that's true. And even if there was, it wouldn't make any difference. Somebody could mock that all they want, and the principle that's involved in that word, in those words and in that picture, they could line them up for a mile of U-Hauls if they want to, but they're not taking anything with them. Nothing. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. We have way more than food and clothes. I am a steward of these things. I refuse to be possessed by my possessions. I'm saying that so you will say that to yourself. I refuse to be possessed by my possessions. I am a steward of these things. It doesn't belong to me. I will use it to the best of my ability to the glory of God. That's my goal. That's my mentality. I am a steward. Let us, number one, be grateful for what we have. There's thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Let me ask you something. If you only possessed this morning what you thank God for yesterday, how much would you have had this morning? Think about that. Were you thankful for your home yesterday? The bed you're sleeping in, the car you're driving, the clothes you're wearing, the food you're eating, the job you have, the list could go on. Were you grateful for that? Did you stop at any point yesterday and thank God for those things? If you only had today what you thank God for yesterday, what would you have today? I think that's a good question. At least one ought to remind us to be grateful. Be grateful for what you have. Secondly, be faithful in your stewardship of it, whatever it is. Some of us have more, some of us have less. Whatever that amount is, be a good steward of it. And thirdly, let us be gracious in our sharing of it. Let's share. You know, the holidays, Thanksgiving is gone. Christmas is gone. And now it's been announced this morning, we're going to start these baskets again that we did some time back. You see, the world doesn't think that way. The world thinks, well, it's Thanksgiving. We got to, you know, feed people. And I'm not trying to downplay that. I think that's fine. It's fine to help people who need help during the holidays. But you would think that people never get hungry from January to October. Seriously. Just think. I'm not saying that to be smart or to try to any way diminish what someone does. But I think you know the point. Here's something we're going to start. And it's in no special time, no special holidays. It's just love and concern for those who are shut-ins and those who are in need of encouragement to help them with things that might cheer their day. That's wonderful. No special occasion. It's just service. It's being gracious to what you have with your time, talents, and treasures. I'm a steward. Let us remember that. I am salt and I am light. Boy, this is so important. This is something we need to remember each and every day. I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. I am. What a responsibility. Do you realize the power that's in that, the potential that's in that? I can make a difference. I have made a difference in this world. Oh, I haven't pleased everybody. My goal in this world is not to please everybody. My first goal, as Paul in Galatians 1 taught, is to please God. Not always done things perfectly, said things perfectly. None of us have. But I'll tell you something. As a child of God, striving each day to be faithful and loyal to my Lord, I've made a difference in this world. I've made a difference for good. Good that really matters. I've not found a cure for cancer. I've not done open heart surgery on anyone. I've not done some great thing to be applauded by men. But I've made a difference in this life by helping people to know Christ. And to help people to strengthen their faith, to not give up and not give in to this world that tries to tear them up and tear them to pieces. Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, you're the salt of the earth. The salt loses its flavor or its saltiness. How shall the earth be salted? It's then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on the hill can't be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it on under a basket, but they put it on the lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Then he says, let your light so shine before men, that purpose here, purpose, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I think God has been glorified through the life that I've tried to live. I want you to say the same thing. I'm not saying that to serve myself. I'm saying, as I said at the beginning of this lesson, in the first person, that you might say the same thing, or at least be able to say the same thing. Has your life made a difference? Brethren, we as Christians are called to be a beacon of hope and peace and joy and optimism. Not of doom and gloom. We're the ones who are supposed to be showing people how to live this life and how to be joyful and optimistic no matter what comes our way. I've seen that in so many lives here in this congregation. Tragedies that people have faced. Didn't lose a step, still serving God. It didn't take away the hurt. The scars are still there. But they're serving the Lord, and they've been an example in that regard. That's what we are. That's what we're to be. We are to be a beacon to this world. Here's another text to consider. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote, "Therefore I exhort all, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, all who are in authority." Why? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." That's the life we are to be leading. A quiet life in all godliness and reverence. We can do that as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Now, go out there and be the salt and be the light. You can do that. The devil's telling you you can't. The world's saying you can't. The world's saying we're not going to put up with it. We're going to ignore you. You can't ignore light. You can try to put it out, but you can't ignore it. Salt, you can try to take away the flavor of it, but you can't ignore it. You can do this. There's no question about it. Keep focused this coming year. I'm the light of the world. I can make a difference. I will make a difference. I have made a difference. And I'm the salt of the earth. I am a sojourner on this earth. I need to remember that every day. This world's not my home. The older I get, the more, honestly, I look forward to leaving this world. Now, when you're a teenager, you don't think about that. You're in your 20s, probably in your 30s. You don't think about that. Your body's young. There's little, if any, aches and pains. But you know, the older you get, the more you know your body's wearing out. That's just how it is. Nothing's going to stop that, shy of the Lord returning. But the older I get, the more I'd like to leave. I'm just a sojourner on this earth. Our life is but a vapor. We're here for a short time on this planet. How can we become so attached to things that we know are someday going to be gone? 2 Peter 3:10, "The earth and the works that are in shall be burned up." Everything will be gone. Everything. We're just here for a short while. 1 Peter 2:11, Peter told them, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Notice, Peter is using the fact, and that clock back there is not right, so I better look at this one, because that one reads 25 minutes to 6. Peter is begging these Christians to live a godly life, not to indulge in the flesh, based on the fact that they are sojourners and pilgrims. The word sojourner here means someone who is a resident alien, just passing through. This is not our real home. Again, that's something else that's in our culture and in our mindset. The idea of aliens, the idea of being an illegal alien. You're not supposed to be here. This isn't your country. This isn't your home. That's the idea of that. Well, that's the idea we need to have in our minds and our hearts about ourselves on this earth. This isn't my home. I'm just passing through. Hebrews 11 and verse 13, those of faith, the Hebrew writer tells us, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, that is, not having received the promises in this life, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You willing to confess that? You willing to acknowledge the fact that you are a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth? That's what we are. Every day, keep focused. Don't get sucked in to the hustle and the bustle. I'm not saying don't enjoy life and don't go here with your kids. I'm not saying quit living. But I'm saying even while you're going through your busy life, that it's going to get hectic at times, remember these things. Because you're a slave of Jesus. You're a disciple of Jesus. You're the light and the salt. You are a sojourner on this earth. That's what it's all about. We've got to keep focused on Jesus. That's what we need to do. Everything else, just everything. If you keep your eyes right on the name Jesus there, everything's fine. Now you take it out and start looking around the borders of that picture, like I'm doing on the screen right here. It's like, it's crazy. That's our life. You take your eyes off of Jesus and start looking around there, and everything becomes a blur. You can't make out anything at all there. But when you come back to the center and you focus on Him, even though you see all this other stuff taking place around you, you see clearly Jesus. Live every day this coming year as if it could be your last, because it could be. We say goodbye to some of this congregation this year, as we have, I believe, every year we've been here. And that's just how it's going to be. Death is no respecter of persons. The young, the old, it makes no difference whatsoever. Live every day that if it was your last day, your loved ones will not have to worry about your soul. They don't have to wring their hands. They don't have to cry any tears of sorrow and aches and pains of heart because you decide, Jesus ain't for me. Live your life in a way that they will be glad that you followed Christ. Keep focused on Jesus this coming year. Remember these things. Again, it'll be on the website, and I hope if you need to access it, you'll do that this coming year to remain focused. If you're not a child of God, I would encourage you, the best thing you can do in your life is to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, those who have believed and have been baptized shall be saved. If you've never done that, we would encourage you this morning to do it. If you have done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, maybe this morning you need to refocus your life, rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe you do. If you do, don't let this opportunity pass. Begin the new year refocused and determined to follow Christ. And remember that you belong to Him, you're His disciple, and you're going to shine for Him as His disciple, as the light of the world. And you're going to live in a way that this world is really not that important to you. Heaven's your home. If you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you'll do that as we stand together and sing this song.